Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting episode of the Vinny Eastwood Show. I can't wipe the grin off my face. I will tell you why. Okay, all right. Calm down, Vinny. Calm down. Just get a hold of yourself. All right. Article out of the Huffington Post. Are you ready? Okay. Pete Santilli draws Secret Service attention after saying he would, quote, shoot Hillary Clinton in the vagina. It couldn't happen to a nicer man. Let me just read this article out. I was going to have this this other radio show host on Bruce Montalvo on today. And yesterday he releases an article about the owner of this network, Danny Romero. Basically, what he did is he copy-pasted an article that was written by Chris Geo, who's a proven liar, and basically saying that Danny Romero is an FBI informant and he's tied to white supremacists. Nothing could be further from the truth. So obviously, Bruce Montalvo doesn't know how to do research of any kind and has no freaking manners either, and releases this article and insults me in it as well, saying, ha-ha, I'm coming on Vinny Eastwood's show tomorrow, and he won't read this because he doesn't do any research. Well, as it turns out, I just did. And I've found out the backstory to all of this and determined that no, there's no fracking way I'm going to let any pathetic scum come on this show and start defaming the network. We're family. You don't mess with family. That's all I wanted to say about that. I want to go into this article here. Piece of crap. Right-wing radio host Pete Santilli has drawn Secret Service scrutiny after going on a sustained rant last week that included a suggestion that he wanted to, quote, try, convict, and shoot Hillary Clinton in the vagina. Now, ladies, I apologize for the nature of this article and the blatant misogyny. I think I have a misogynistic streak in me just a little bit, but nothing like this. And I have massive, massive respect for the women who've come on the show over the years, you know, great research and things of that nature. This is just unbelievable. Unbelievable. You know, you hear the recording. I don't want to play the recording because it's just layered with all this swearing and stuff like that, and it just takes too long to edit for FCC regulated radios. It's just horrific. It's just horrific. All Things Democrat first reported the news over the weekend, and Talking Points memo confirmed the Secret Service's involvement on Monday. We are aware of Mr. Santilli's comments and will take the appropriate follow-up action, Edwin M. Donovan, a Secret Service spokesperson, told TPM. He certainly has a right to free speech, but the Secret Service has a right and an obligation to determine what a person's intent is when making comments like this. While they obviously didn't hear the other show where he started calling for the US military to start taking out leadership. Take out the leaders now! That kind of stuff. All right? Unbelievable. If I would ever say something like that, even if I'm in New Zealand, I'd probably be black bagged and carted away. This is unbelievable. Ugh. How many times can you say the word unbelievable on a single broadcast, I wonder? Let's find out. Sure, it'll be unbelievable. Okay. All right. Speaking on his show last week, Santilli accused Clinton of being involved in the killings of American troops. Well, name me a U.S. statesperson who isn't indirectly involved in the killing of U.S. troops and sending them all to die. Okay, but I don't think you need to really single anybody out here. They're kind of all criminals. Related to the attack on September 11th, 2012, at the U.S. diplomatic mission in Benghazi, Libya. Was this the one where she was laughing and smiling and stuff like that, just kind of like evilly? You know, just because I think she's evil doesn't mean I think that she should be. Let me read this then. Quote, I want to shoot her right in the vagina, and I don't want her to die right away, he said. I want to feel the pain, and I want to look into her eyes, and I want to say, on behalf of all Americans that you've killed, on behalf of the Navy SEALs, the families of the Navy SEALs, Team 6 who were involved in the fake hunt down of this Osama bin Laden thing, the whole fake scenario, because these Navy SEALs know the truth, they killed them all. Yeah, that's about right. You know, and here's the thing. Even if you agree with the things that he's postulating, the fact that he is literally advocating violence against the US leadership makes the entire... Anybody who talks about these kind of subjects that we cover on, say, this radio show, for instance, or this network, we all get lumped in with this guy. Because he says things like this, and they categorize him as a right-wing talk radio show host. And then everybody starts to think, man, is that what right-wing talk radio show hosts are like? Man, those people are crazy. They need to be locked up. They need, you know, he could get us all arrested, for all we know. He could get us all indefinitely detained under the NDAA, just like they've done to Adam Kokesh, who I'm supposed to be interviewing this afternoon, but I haven't heard back. I think he's still under black bag control. Santilli continued, on behalf of all these people, I'm supporting our troops by saying we need to try, convict, and shoot Hillary Clinton in the vagina. Oh my God. I was playing this the recording of it to one of my mates last night, and he was just laughing. It's just hilarious to listen to it. And then you realize that he's not joking. He actually would do it if he got half a chance. That's my opinion anyway. I could be wrong. As part of the same diatribe, Santilli also claimed that President Barack Obama needs to be tried, convicted, and shot for crimes against the United States of America. Santilli has reportedly signaled his intent to, quote, offer his sincerest apologies to those who have taken him out of context and who were offended by the comments. However, he has maintained that Clinton is behind some vast global conspiracy to, quote, stifle the evidence about drug cartels, communist threats, and betrayal of Americans in Benghazi. Which is all true. This is the end of the article. That's it. So what you got here is a talk show host, used to be on this network, and a lot of people still think he is on this network, so that when they hear him make comments like this, the network owner gets messages from people, how can you let this person say this? It's like, we fired him ages ago, bro. What are you talking about? And he's been fired or quit or destroyed every single network he's been a part of. And I've got another one here. The Shiite Muslim storm is coming in on this guy now. Not soon enough. Women's rights advocates and all U.S. citizens. Nationwide boycott against Peter T. Santilli. This is a petition by Marcy Mustaine of the United States. Peter T. Santilli has gone beyond misogynistic hate speech while abusing public officials and recently expressed a wanton desire to personally shoot former First Lady and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in the vagina, intending a slow and painful death on his little-known Internet One radio program, The Pete Santilli Show. In mid-May of 2013, Peter Santilli made disgusting and zealous statements on his internet-based radio show against former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, saying, I want to shoot her in the vagina and I don't want her to die right away. I want her to feel the pain. He says, I'm supporting the troops by saying we need to try, convict, and shoot Hillary Clinton in the vagina. He also made attacks against President Obama, stating Barack Obama needs to be tried, convicted, and shot for crimes against the United States of America, Pete Santilli said. And if anybody had a problem with that, you are an enemy of our state. He also says on the recording, I think, something like, if you are in disagreement that we should be taking out the U.S. leadership and shooting Hillary Clinton in the vagina, then you are a horrible, disgusting enemy of the state, bad human being, or words to that effect. Basically, if you don't become a brutal, psychopathic scumbag like me, you're a bad person. I can't get to see the reason why I'm so happy about this. All right, and it's not because of what actually. Look, I was going to say it's not because of some personal vendetta. I lie. It actually is. You know, I've just been I've seen this person abuse so many people, so many people. I've done a little bit of Googling. Anybody who criticizes him gets long emails, lengthy with abuse. Even so much as a spinal cord injury veteran who he threatened to beat to death in his wheelchair. This is the kind of person he is. And these articles don't mention what he calls Hillary Clinton and what he calls most women that I've seen him have these kind of email exchanges with. It starts with a C and it rhymes with Hunt. That's right. And he uses it frequently. He's done this to Suzanne Posel of Occupy Corporatism numerous times. He even created a fake name of a lawyer and sent her a threatening email that started off with the C that rhymes with Hunt word, okay? He made it up and used it to threaten her. This is what the guy does. He's freaking dangerous. I'm scared to death of the guy. And I'm probably going to get a hell of a lot of a Shiite Muslim storm myself after coming out on radio like this. I said that I wouldn't. I didn't want to mention the guy anymore, but this is just I cannot contain it any longer. He stole the name Guerrilla Media off me. He told me on a private recorded phone call, which I have the recordings of, that he doesn't even want it, and then he continues to use it. Everything the guy says is a psychotic lie. Everything. And if you are associated with him, like Bruce Montalvo, or any of these other people that he's got on this fake-ass Guerrilla Media network. He stole the idea from me and the whole concept of running it and giving people a platform so that they can actually publish their own content without having to pay for the websites themselves and stuff. If you're associated with him, this is the pot that you were being chucked in with. There are now being calls for boycotts. I'm sorry. I'm ranting. All right. So anyway, on with this petition thing. He later tweeted that Mr. Obama, quote, should be shot in the balls. Oh my God. It just keeps getting better. He attacked Mrs. Clinton multiple times over the following 3 days and is prideful in continuing to use this disgusting behavior to boost his previously unknown right-wing internet career. He has issued a black-handed and insincere apology that every prominent conservative in the media have noted. There's no way that he's sorry for what he said. Over the course of the last year, he has viciously attacked multiple women who have appeared as guests and contributors on his show, using intimidation, character assassination, and identity theft, while directing his listeners to take abusive actions against his, quote, enemies to achieve his disturbing and abusive goals as a deniability tactic, while creating false internet personalities to send violent, threatening, and misogynistic messages to his victims. His continuing public threats of violence have thus far gone unchecked, and he is now threatening the life of the heads of state and the president. Boastful admissions of such incidents further prove his neglect of the law as well as his prideful, misogynistic conduct. Mr. Santilli has in fact been reported multiple times to the Secret Service, FBI, DHS, and Veterans Affairs officers over the past 6 months. As yet, no serious action has been taken against this treasonous right-wing criminal, thus allowing more victims to occur with no apparent urgency on the part of the justice system. Now, the dumbed-down reader in me just goes, man, the government must be really inept. Why aren't they taking action? But the conspiracy theorist in me thinks he's getting away with it for a very good reason, because he's there to do it purposefully. He's been hired. He's on the payroll. Don't have the evidence of it, you know, and that's the problem. Everybody's accusing everybody for no good reason, and they don't really have enough evidence to show for it. I'll continue this after the break, and I want to take some callers on this as well. Do you have a Pete Santilli horror story? Has he threatened to shoot you in the vagina? Call on in. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. We'll be right back at VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. Or the times they are a-changing.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The call-in number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. We're discussing right-wing talk radio show host Peter Santilli, who has recently drawn Secret Service attention for threatening to shoot Hillary Clinton in the vagina. Now, our very... I can't... Okay. Calm down, Vinny, calm down. All right. We're going to go to our first caller now. In a 951 area code, I believe that might be a California area code. You're on the air. Welcome to the show.
How you doing, Mike?
How are you? Slight.
Good day. I'm calling from California, mate. You know who this is. How you doing, Vinny?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Okay, yeah, man. So I hear you talking a lot about Pete Santilli, but I don't hear anything about my article, man. I don't hear anything about the connections that Alex Jones and Danny Romero seem to have via supporting these neo-Nazi socialist scumbags, Mike.
Right. So this would be Bruce Montalvo, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had you on my show, Vinny. You know, I had you on. And I was expecting you to show me the same favor, you know what I mean? Call me back, be a man of your word.
When you
and here you are, bad-mouthing me, saying I don't do research. I'm not the one that's using articles, you hear me? I'm not Suzanne Fogel, I'm not using...
So we're going to go to our next caller now. Pat Mahiney, otherwise known as Spartacus, I believe, calling, and you're on the air.
Yeah, can you read me okay?
You've come through loud and clear, brother.
Hey, guy, this is Mark from Houston calling, also known as Spartacus, legendary talk show warrior. I've been on Pete Santilli's ass since day one. I smelled him out from day one. It's adding up more and more that he's dirty as hell. I can prove that if you call his show, he'll reverse search your phone number and then publish your home address and phone number. I think that's pretty dangerous. Also, you know, I've been in on this thing. I've been sticking up for Fetzer. And he edited out my call to Santilli's show when Fetzer was on. And the guy just stinks to high heaven. He has no honor, no integrity whatsoever. He's mean-spirited. I have recordings of him calling me up and threatening me at home. I can prove that. I can prove he reverse searches people's phone numbers and publishes it. That is the worst possible thing, especially when you talk about the things we talk about. So I heard he's scheduled to be on the Howard Stern Show next Tuesday. I've emailed them the information, everybody I can find.
Whoa,
I suggest
whoa, whoa, whoa.
Everybody out there do it.
We'll see you next Tuesday. You do realize what CEO
Yeah, well, Howard Stern could have a lot of fun with this guy. You know what I'm saying? It wouldn't be easy nailing him for being a liar.
Yeah.
So anyway, Vinny, I don't know, man. I just suggest everybody email Howard Stern Show. They love the publicity, you know, so we'll just see what happens. But it, I don't like it. I guess that's all I got to say, Vinny.
Well, I want to really thank you, Spartacus, for your call, and I really applaud you actually ringing in, because Pete Santelli, he comes after everybody that criticizes him and attacks him, and I'm putting myself on the line really here, even talking about it. And I said that I wouldn't, but I just can't help myself. Like, I can't stay silent any longer, because he's doing so much damage to people with all the threats and everything that he's giving you. You're not an isolated incident at all, man. You're probably one of thousands of people that he's threatened or abused and things of that nature. He's just a horrific human being, just the scum of the highest order.
Yeah, well, he doesn't work for us, that's for sure. And can't we have everybody out there, everybody listening, mount an effort and email Howard Stern Show, get through some way, somehow, and then Howard can talk to Pete about what the YouTube video that you have up, thank you very much, you and Suzanne Posey, where you get the facts out. It pops up when you type in Pete Santelli. It's all right there, thanks to you. Thank you very much. And we need to have everybody out there get on Howard Stern's ass, and then he could straighten this guy out. He's the kind of guy that could just nail his ass to the wall. And he's not getting punished by the law for some reason. You got to remember that, too. So, anyway, I've done my part, man. It's all about 9/11 truth. 9/11 truth is the only thing that will ever provide enough leverage to get anything done about anything. And Jim Fetzer is the foremost authority on it. I back him up 100% all the way. God bless you, Jim. Thank you. Thank you, Vinny.
Thank you, Spartacus, for your call. We're going to go to our next caller now in a 410 area code. You're on the air.
Yeah. Well, I was going to try to lighten things up the way you typically do on your show by asking if Judy Wood had weighed in on this yet, because it may have been that Pete was, shall we say, metaphorically referring to a direct shooting Hillary with a directed energy weapon, right?
I want to direct that energy right into her vagina. you just imagine all the particles coming apart.
Yeah, only to emphasize the fact that we shouldn't over-dramatize this by personalizing it or individualizing it. You know, we got to be realistic about this, irrespective of whether Santilli is just a coked-up psycho or a deployed asset or some subtle combination, because I haven't really explored his military bona fides in sufficient detail to arrive at
it's
any.
A complete fraud. As is
well, that
Coca-Cola.
Well, he ought to be shut down for that. If he's lying about a military record, he ought to be shut down for that.
Yeah.
You understand that? That you could shut him down for, I think. But
yeah,
you can sue him. You can take him to court. You can say that you know you could. But in either case, what we need to reflect on here is that, in terms of the banality of it and the commonality of it, is that Santilli, in effect, almost as though it were scripted, and I'm not saying it was scripted. The extent to which his on-air behavior is spontaneous or how he's guided or directed, that's just a matter of, you know, scripting.
Well, we do know that during his Fetzer interview, where he kept interrupting him and was basically one of the worst interviews I've ever heard in talk radio history, he did have Judy Wood behind the scenes telling him what to say, how to say it, and so on and so forth, totally controlled in that regard.
Vinny, I've been with Judy Wood several times in the distant, around about 2006, 2007. I was at the original National Press Club presentation where she and Morgan Reynolds presented their evidence, I thought in a very dignified manner. But then we were there as a support group with the D.C., with the local D.C. 9/11 truth crowd. And by the way, I want to agree with your prior caller. we have to have the arrest of the 9/11 perpetrators and huge global public trials in order to save this planet. Otherwise, the species doesn't deserve to exist, morally, ethically, in my view. Now, how long that's going to take, you know, what that, how, I understand that that's like staring at the moon to a lot of people out there, but what I'm saying is, this is a gangster thing. This is a gangster thing, and Santilli will, his views, well, here's what we have to be awake to. Here's what we have to be looking for. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to be doing in another couple hours when I go to socialize with a martial arts club that I train with. It includes quite a few current active duty and retired military types and Marines, people that have worked around the FBI. They're probably going to be talking about this latest shooting down in Florida. I'm just going to be listening and seeing if the Santilli, if it's the Huffington Post is obviously trying to mainstream him. So let's see if they've heard about it yet. In other words, I think Santilli's influence among that demographic layer is marginal at this point, but he could reflect. But I mean, let's be honest about this, Vinny. I do know. I can count on the fingers of one hand a couple of Marines who probably would have agreed with what Santilli, with his sentiments. Do you understand? And we have to be, for better or worse, for threat, or we shouldn't be so self-centered that we're thinking it's all about targeting us. You understand? Yes, it's about targeting us, but it's part of a larger, you know. Right. And he's also speaking, they're gauging, when they put a message like that out there, they want to see how people react to it, how they respond to it. Otherwise, they'll snuff it. And also, they'll calibrate this. They'll move it up through the Huffington Post. Maybe next it'll make the, what's the site run by that former CIA intern, Marcos? What the hell is that called? The Daily Kos? Let's see if this shows up on the Daily Kos. And then let's see if Drudge picks it up. Let's see who picks up this story, and then let's hear how people react to it. And let's especially look at the key demographic layers. I'm not talking about necessarily the college kids or the soccer moms. I'm talking about the people who are either current or former military or have some association with work for a government agency or government contractors. Talking about everybody who's still in sort of a meaningful relationship to the machine, if you know what I mean. They're not just sucking on the trough. They're sucking on the trough, but what I'm saying is they're still sort of keeping functionality running. That's what we need to be gauging and listening for. They may decide to just pension this guy Santilli off to the farm, or they may try to cultivate him as a more refined something between a Glenn Beck and an Alex Jones. Who knows?
One of my listeners commented on Facebook that people like him normally self-destruct, and I disagree. I think people like him normally become the heads of major corporations or nations.
Of course, the question is, do they self-destruct before doing a hell of a lot of damage? And that's
it's like the Predator, you know? He'll take out six city blocks when he goes down.
Yeah. But that's the whole thing with provocateurs. You see provocateurs, agents provocateurs or hotheads or, you know, any particular element. And I speak, of course, from an earlier time, from the 1960s, which I lived through every moment of the politics of that period and the culture. Every moment. 62. And you'll see every one of these phenomenons pass before you like old newsreel footage or something. You know, I've seen it all before. Step back, take a good look, see whose priorities are where, and make strategic assessments. See where they're attempting to steer things. See where the money goes. Above all, follow the money. All of these ops take money. This is just plain old gangsterism. Track it like that. They're tracking, monitoring us. Let's track and monitor them. They've given us the means to do that. Maybe not as effectively as they do, but most important, let's listen to the people around us and not be so eager to speak. Everybody who I know already knows what I think. And that that makes my job a lot easier now because I don't have to say anything. No one had to ask me what I thought about Sandy Hook or Boston Marathon. They had already guessed. Do you understand? And that was great because I didn't have to talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, a detail might come up here or there. The important thing is not to take the bait, not to let people bait you into an emotional situation because that's what's being jerked around here, are emotions.
Can I interject here? Because I've been baited into this emotional situation is the very reason why I'm discussing Santilli on the show right now, and I'm going to experience most likely extraordinary consequences based upon this. I expect to be abused. I expect to be threatened. I expect to have my videos have privacy complaints against them. I expect my website to be hacked. I expect the network to be taken down.
No, Vinny, they just shot a guy. They just shot a guy to death down there in Kissimmee, Florida, in Orlando, this morning, who they claim apparently was a friend of one of the Tsarnaev, the elder Tsarnaev brother. They're both mixed martial artists. And by the way, I'll be real curious to hear what Joe Rogan has to say about all this. Or if he'll have the balls that baits him. I tell you what, you're Vinny Eastwood. You're a much bigger celebrity than me. But I'm putting it out on the Vinny Eastwood show. I'm issuing a challenge to Joe Rogan. Are you going to organize the mixed martial artists and boxers and of this country, of the planet, not to allow two of their own to be murdered and dishonored in this manner and used as patsies in some cheap gangster plot? You know, that's a moral challenge. You're all celebrities. You step out. Put up a show. Do you have a Bates? I'm personally challenging. Okay, I'm going to do a Pete Santilli right now.
You can't swear on the radio show, bro.
Right. And I'm going to try to do it calmly. I'm going to try to do it calmly because I know the rage.
Well, then you're not doing a Pete Santilli.
You're right. But I tell you what, I know some Marines out there who are just like him in that respect. They can be manipulated. You understand? Their potential, their, you know what I'm saying? But of course, he's not a Marine. You're telling me that's all fake anyway.
Yeah. I mean,
well, that's the first thing we have to tell all the Marines out there, that this guy's a fake. So the next question is, well, who puts a fake Marine out there to present himself as such and then call for these outrageous things that apparently will discredit 9/11 truthers and conspiracy theorists and basically any dissident, any anti-government dissident?
Psychos.
Yeah. Let me go. I got to get ready for a class, but I'm listening. And hey, you know the thing about you is you got a level head. I don't agree with you about everything, but you got a level head, got a sense of humor. I think that stratagem right there is extremely powerful, devastating, worth an arsenal of AR-15s is a sense of humor.
Yeah, well, it's not so much a strategy as it is a coping mechanism, because if you can't laugh about everything, you'll go freaking crazy because it's so freaking horrible. The reality will suck you down into a deep, dark abyss of depression and psychosis. Thank you very much for your call. I really appreciate your contributions to the show today. And we'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, after the break at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, 218-339-8525. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Oh, yeah, we're back. And we've got to take some callers, 218-339-8525. This is the final segment that we're going to be discussing the right-wing talk radio show host Peter Santilli today. So if you have something to say about this topic, if you have a horror story, if he threatened your vagina, call in 218. 218-339-8525. I'm sorry, I just find it intensely funny. Not because it's actually funny, all right, but because he was stupid enough to say it. And hopefully, this is what I pray, he is arrested and permanently detained under the NDAA in Guantanamo Bay with a black bag over his head, with only a can of Coca-Cola once a year as his Christmas present. That's what I want. All right, caller in the 818 area code. You are on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Vinny?
Oh, somewhat fabulous.
How you doing?
I'm good. What's up?
Just hearing about Peter Santilli. That really, you know, kind of gets me mad, because I remember when he was on your show when he like was first coming on American Freedom Radio, and I could tell straight from the bat. I was like, nah, this guy is he's no good, you know. He's just you could just tell straight up. He was talking about like, oh, Alex Jones told me to get my own radio show, and I used to listen to Alex Jones, and so I got my own radio show, and then, yeah, this is what happens, you know?
Well, maybe, maybe you're a bit more perceptive than me, man, and maybe if I'd carte blanche just said, oh, he's a scumbag straight off the bat, I wouldn't be in this predicament now where he's using the name of my my network as his own and claiming that he came up with it.
I know, man, that sucks, dude. That really, really does suck, because for years I know it was Vinny Eastwood / Guerrilla Media. That's all you. That's, that's your... I know, that's why I'm so mad. I had to call in, you know, just... let out some steam with you, Vinny. We're with you, you know, like over here in Southern California, a lot of people listen to you, and you know what I mean? We're right here, hopefully, you know, whatever we can do, or the internet ways.
I'm going to need protection of some kind. You know, this is the difference between me and Santilli. He asked his audience to go after people. I'm now asking my audience to protect me from this guy, if it's at all possible, and I don't even know how if it even is.
Yeah, no, it is. Of course, of course. Come on, Vinny. He's just a man too. Let's not, you know what I mean? We're strong. We're with God. We're with faith. He's a, like you said, he's a scumbag. You know, I know he's a psycho. And last time you had a guy that was talking about psychopaths, about, you know, leave him alone. You can't mess with him. The only way you could deal with him is if you take him out like forever.
Yeah,
I feel you.
You can't
out
psycho a psycho. And, yeah. And that's what I'm afraid of. And I've really
put
my foot in it now, and I'm gonna suffer the consequences. I know it.
Nah, Vinny, heck no. If you suffer the consequences, we all suffer the consequences. Trust me, man. You're with the freedom. We're not gonna let you burn, you know? Look at what happened to Adam Kokesh. This dude, everyone's like looking for him. Everyone around the nation, oh, call this number, every YouTube comment, every InfoWars comment, every comment on everything, you know what I mean? They can't. Mm. They could be like, that's the power of the true freedom speakers, the true, you know, the patriots that are there, the Paul Revere's, you know what I mean? That's you guys, you know? We're not going to let them kill the messenger. Heck no, that's like against all rules of war, you know? No, man.
Well, here's the problem as well, is that Santilli follows no rules. You know, people like you and I, we're good, decent people. You know, you wouldn't rob an old lady or kill a child in a brutal fashion or something of that nature, or set up a fake website about somebody and tell malicious lies about them in order to defame them and destroy your career. He has no such scruples. That's why I'm saying there really isn't a whole lot that people can do to protect me, because he will do things that you and I would never do.
I feel you, Vinny. I feel you. But at least you're in New Zealand. Where is he? He's not going to listen. Please don't be scared.
I can guarantee you, and I know that he has listeners in New Zealand, and I do know that he uses his radio platform to tell his listeners to go out and do things. He even told his listeners, if you're in the military, kill the president, kill the generals. Okay, It's not beyond the realms of possibility he could reach me here. You know, he's like Sauron in a way. His arm has grown long indeed.
Well, it's not just, I guess the war is on, Vinny, with Peter Santelli, that whatever his name is, Stanley Santelli, Stafelli, Spaghetti, Sorelli, whatever his last, I don't, you know what I mean?
Sterility.
Yeah, it's on, Vinny. And I pray for you, you know, protection all around you, because I know you're in the driver's seat, you're in the forefront, but you know what I mean? You still have a huge audience behind you, you know, backing you up. Like, trust me, man, we got you, you know, and God has you, Jesus, you know? Jesus has you, man. He's just a demon, you know? He's a demon, trust me. I bet you he has, like, 50 demons inside him, man, all, like, disgusting and ready to, like, but nah, you can't fight the light, bro. Blinded by the light, right?
Well, let's hope so. Now, I also wanted to read out something here. Maybe you'll appreciate this. There's a Facebook group called 1 Million Vaginas, incidentally. Mm-hmm. It says, Pete Santilli is using his radio show to publicly threaten Hillary Clinton. Boycott the primary sponsors of the Pete Santilli show. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to hurt this person, okay, because of how much of a dangerous, violent, threatening, lying, defamatory, unconscionable scumbag he is, boycott his sponsors. Okay, now these sponsors are NuvonaPremiumFoods.com, SilverBulletSilverShield.com, craigslaw.com. That's Craig with a Z. That's Craig Zimmerman's one. electroniccigarettesofhouston.com. Have you ever heard the philosophy that if you want to mess with somebody, mess with their money? You know, and somebody was kind enough to drop in the phone numbers. So if anybody's got the pen and paper out handy or something of that nature, I just want to give out the law office number of Craig Zimmerman, because people really do need to take action on this, because I sat back for months while he continued to do what he does, because basically I was scared of the guy. And I'm still scared of the guy. In fact, I'm going to die for this. Law Office of Craig Zimmerman, 800-987-4165. That's 800-987-4165.
That's right, Vinny. Let's get him politically. You know what I mean? You're right.
Okay, and Silver Bullet, Silver Shield is 888-299-4399. That's 888-299-4399. And also the Elixir Liquid, I think it's the cigarettes he's doing, 713-319-8710. That's Elixir Liquid, 713-319-8710. And I do hope that people call these sponsors, tell them that you will not be purchasing their products if they continue to sponsor Pete Santilli. It doesn't matter if you never purchased their products or never even heard of them again. Trust me, when businesses receive calls from people saying you are going to lose business if you continue to sponsor somebody, they drop that person like a hot potato, because they do not want their business threatened. And, well, basically, anybody who gets involved with Pete Santilli at some point gets threatened.
Yep, that's right, Vinny. That's a smart way to go. Get him politically, you know, assassinate his character, you know what I mean?
I don't think we need to assassinate a character. He's already shot his own character in the head.
Character, right? What character?
Yeah, he ain't got one. And, yeah, it's just that also, not only that, but he's also got a whole crew. Like, there's other people that he's put onto this guerrilla media network, and all those people need to be contacted and said that, you know, I'm not going to listen to you if you keep continuing to associate with Pete Santilli and something like this. What a psychopath does to somebody if they want to destroy you is they get you isolated. I think it's a little time for some poetic justice.
Yeah,
this guy needs to be in Alcatraz. By himself, with a tent and a firelighter, till the end of time.
They should lock him up. All right, Vinny, I'm gonna go back to work now. I was in my break. I actually took a personal break to give you a phone call, and you know what I mean. Power to the people, and power to you, Vinny.
You know, that almost makes me cry, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man, you know what I mean. Right here, love from Southern sunny California, baby.
You know, I gotta love California, even if Pete Santilli's still in it.
No, I know, I feel you. It's so hard, Vinny. It's so hard. I battle the New World Order every day here, chemtrails, you know, like the water, everything, man. But trying to survive, trying to stay alive, you know, trying to raise my kids, and all that stuff. It's pretty scary, man, but thank God, like, I have faith, you know, I thank God that I'm alive and that I actually know these things, you know what I mean? I'm not a zombie, like, you want to go to McDonald's? Yeah, Happy Meal. Heck no, like, we don't, that place to us is like, oh my, we see it and we're like, oh, no, man, we know what's up, we're awake, well, at least I am and my friends and my group, you know, and we just try to help out other people, too.
All right, man. Well, I really applaud what you're doing, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart and the cockles, too, for calling in and giving me that vote of confidence and support, my man. Thank you so much. Really, truly.
Of course, Vinny. Southern California, Los Angeles, baby. All right.
All right. Catch you later, bro. Right. Thanks for calling in again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're coming to break. In the second hour, we're going to be changing subject. And we will be having a guest on, because that's what I normally do. I bring on guests who are either really big or really small, just to, you know, to tell their stories and things like that, and give them some coverage that otherwise they would never get in a lot of ways and cases. So, you know, this is my mission, to help people, and if necessary, to try and help destroy people who destroy others. I implore you. Keep listening to this show. We'll be right back after the break. Keep it playing.
Is what we need, with peace and love and harmony. Unity is strength and assured success. All for one and one for all. Unity means solidarity.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the fastest 2 hours in talk radio. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com 5 days a week for your listening eargasm pleasure. And my very special guest is Dean Henderson. Dean, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Vincent.
Now, Dean, I'm unfamiliar with who you are and what you do, so if you'd enlighten me, I'd be much obliged.
Great. I'm an author. I've written 4 books, Big Oil and Their Bankers in the Persian Gulf, 4 Horsemen, 8 Families in a Global Intelligence, Narcotics, and Terror Network, and then The Grateful Unrich, Revolution in 50 Countries, which is a travelogue of my travels to 50 countries, and then Sticking It to the Matrix, which is kind of a practical guide to getting out of the system and not having a job, and then extracting from the system as much as you can. And then Das Kartell, Federal Reserve, which is in German language. And that's basically chapter 19 of that Big Oil book that's been published by Kopp Verlag in Germany. And then I write a weekly column called Left Hook, and people can subscribe to that for free. And, you know, it's just, I call it a weekly whack at the global oligarchy. So it's just, trying to expose the people that run the world, you know, the bankers and Illuminati and whatever you want to call them.
I love it how they use both the left mainstream political parties and the right mainstream political parties. They come at you and still the bankers win. It was like, I came up with a phrase. It was like, watch out for the right jab and the left hook.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my view on that is there are no left political parties at all. And both in America, anyway, you got Democrats, Republicans, and both. The Republicans are basically fascist. The Democrats are far right. There is no left in America, no genuine left. I mean, genuine left would be like Hugo Chavez, Che Guevara, Castro, people that weren't in bed with these people. So, yeah, they try to play games. They try to, you know, of course, there's all kinds of skullduggery going on and smoke and mirrors going on. But in the end, I'm a leftist because I believe I'm a worker. I'm, if you've been on a job site behind a shovel for a long time and you've been exploited by a boss over and over, you've seen others and you've seen people in the third world exploited by these money people, you know, it's just made me a leftist. So I think the whole idea that the right-left paradigm doesn't exist is really a dangerous idea. It's been put forward by Alex Jones and some of these people who I don't really know about too much. I think there is a left-right paradigm, but I just think that the right, it's just everything's right. Everything's to the right now. And I don't know if it's the same in New Zealand, but
We live in a pretty heftily socialist country. We've got universal health care, taxation completely out of control. We're fighting foreign wars for people for political gain and things of that nature. People are having their rights taken away from them. It sounds like classic socialism to me.
That's, you know, look, man, I think.
And we've got a private central bank. And we've got a private central bank, which is another central bank.
Yeah, well, exactly. So it's really not socialism. So it's just another one of their little games. I mean, real socialism, to me, the only real socialists that ever existed in this world, honestly, were the indigenous people. You know, the Maori, the Lakota, the Navajo, whoever. I mean, basically, there was a council. And all socialism really is sharing, you know, sharing the wealth. Well, there's no sharing the wealth going on in this world. I mean, if you look at people who say Obama's a socialist, Obama's not a socialist. Obama's a whore for the bankers. He's just a punk for the bankers. There's no socialism. There's no sharing. There's nobody. The poor get poorer. The rich get richer. That has nothing to do with socialism. And I just think it's a real important thing to point out because, you know, like I said, I'm a conspiracy guy, but I'm also a revolutionary. It's kind of a totally different genre. In fact, maybe there's just a handful of us doing it because, you know, a lot of the conspiracy people are kind of righties, even though they won't admit it. You know, these are the people that say there's no right-left paradigm, but actually they vote Republican in this country.
So do you believe that, you know, say people who create businesses and create wealth, manufacturing and so on and so forth, should at the barrel of a gun have their wealth taken off them so it can be redistributed to workers?
No, of course not. I'm an entrepreneur, too. I used to have a business. So I sell my books. I'm a street vendor. I'm a farmer. I sell the grocery stores. That's ridiculous. But I do believe that the Federal Reserve, for example, should have their assets taken at the barrel of a gun. You're damn right.
Yeah. And,
you know, I mean, it's all about you have to use common sense. A lot of it's just common sense, and there is no common sense. But no, of course not. Entrepreneurs should be left alone. But look, when I was in Nicaragua in 1984, Sandinistas were in power. I never saw so many entrepreneurs on the street as I've seen at that time in Nicaragua. And these were the people who were, yeah, they were the Marxist communists who, you know, were going to seize all the people's land. And then you start talking, and actually there was even rich ranchers who they left alone who cooperated with them. But there is going to come a time when these rich people are going to have to pay. And I mean, the super rich, the people that don't, these people don't create jobs. Goldman Sachs doesn't create jobs. They destroy jobs. They make a living destroying jobs. They sit there pushing a keyboard, crunching numbers, making, you know, $1 billion a year, being lazy fucks, excuse my language, and they don't
you can't
nothing.
Say that on FCC regular radio.
Sorry.
I apologize to the affiliates and the listeners as well.
Delete.
Continue.
Yeah, delete. But, you know, they're lazy. That these people, and so this whole myth that, oh, these people are such hard workers and they create all jobs. What about the job creators? What about the boss creators? What about the workers? What happened to respect for working people who sweat and toil and build these empires and even the small businesses, even build the small businesses for people? They get no respect. And that's a very dangerous trend that's going on in this world. And it's got to end. If we ever any hope of getting rid of this cartel, getting rid of this Illuminati, getting rid of this thing we're talking about that we agree on. You know, if we're going to get rid of these guys, we have to get our ideology straightened out, I think.
Well, you know, you're right, and you talked about the lack of common sense, which is why I've now renamed it platinum sense, because it's one of the rarest metals on Earth.
You got that right. There's not a lot of it. But it's just the media is controlled by these people, and, you know, the Zionist media, and they control the very way we think, our patterns of thought, the way we put things together. You know, we're allowed to debate within this box, and, yeah, it's the Democrats and Republicans here. And now it's the Alex Jones, there's no right-left paradigm. And now there's like a conspiracy thing that's becoming popular. It's popular to believe in conspiracy theories. Doesn't matter. You know, it's dangerous because, look, my big oil book, it's got 958 footnotes. It's not conspiracy theory, it's conspiracy facts. You know, there's no theory in that book. And people got to be careful of throwing stuff around. It's just they heard it over here. They heard it over right now. They got Obama, the IRS case, the Benghazi case. Well, it's all garbage. Benghazi, it's like you're talking about a memo, and meanwhile you're funding these same people in Syria that killed your ambassador in Libya. You're not talking about that? No, they're not talking about that. Left Democrats or Republicans, nobody's talking about why are we funding these Islamists who killed our ambassador in Libya. They're talking about a memo, where, or some stupid stuff. You know, the IRS thing's the same thing, the Tea Party. These guys are an appendage of the Republican Party. They're an appendage of them. So you can't get a 501c3 status and promote a political party. You just can't do it. So of course they're going to be investigating. And then you have the Associated Press thing. And that was a very serious national security leak, probably to Israel. I think our government, you know, Obama gets a lot of crap and he's not perfect, but I think there's at least a shred of decency in this guy. And he is going after the corporations with the SEC, and he is going after the Fox News of the world through the FCC. And that's just why there's this huge media barrage right now against him, because this is how they work. Like, you never heard about this when Bush was president, Bush number one, and there was several environmental groups in Missoula, Montana, where I live, who couldn't get a 501c3. Never heard about it. It wasn't any kind of news. And they were saying, well, they're aligned with the Democrats. Well, most of my friends didn't want anything to do with it either. They voted for Ralph Nader and the Green Party. But still, I mean, it's just a double standard, and everything is out of whack. And we've got to get back to where we can at least have an honest discussion about political ideology, revolutionary thought. I mean, historical things that did exist, do exist. I mean, Mao Zedong did exist, you know. Ho Chi Minh existed. You know, the Shining Path in Peru did exist.
Yeah.
And this is what I'm talking about.
Well, like Mao didn't. Are you talking about Mao, like, killing 80 million of the Chinese and taking over the country with 1% popular support at the barrel of a gun, which he said is the key to political power?
Well, it obviously is the key to political power. I mean, look at who's got the guns now. So he was right about that, wasn't he? And he was also right because Marx said the revolution would start in the factories and the cities, but it won't. It'll start in the countryside. It'll start with the peasant farmers, and it has ever since. And 80 million, I think, is an exaggeration. I mean, I think that's more propaganda you're getting from the bad news people. But, you know, it wasn't perfect, of course. But look, I mean, these people have tried throughout the years to make their lives better for their people. And every time, you know, somebody comes out and tries to do something for their people, they get run down in the media. That's why we're supposed to hate Gaddafi. That's why we're supposed to hate Iran. That's why we're supposed to hate, you know, look at the current bunch that we're supposed to hate. And look how, I mean, I work with Press TV, the Iranian TV, state TV station. It's a state-run TV station. Okay, that's socialism. You have a state-run TV station in New Zealand? We don't. There's no socialism here. Iran's a socialist country. That's why they hate them. They get free. They hand out rations. You know, people get.
I don't think it's necessarily that they're socialist. I think it's because they have a public central bank instead of a private central bank owned by the Rothschilds, just like Gaddafi did. Oh, heck.
It's real. That's real socialism, I'd argue, because that's real socialism. When you get down to nationalizing the big stuff, look, I'm all for letting private enterprise run most things, but you got to nationalize the Federal Reserve, the private central bank. You got to nationalize your big oil companies. You got to nationalize your big mining companies. You got to nationalize your big insurance companies and get rid of insurance as a concept and just have a no-fault system where you deal with doctors, you deal with the people that got hurt, you don't know lawyers, no more insurance companies, and you nationalize your grain processing sector so Cargill's and Monsanto's of the world are the middleman for the farmer and the consumer. That's about it. But you have to nationalize those things, and you have to have land reform, and you have, you know, there's certain things you have to be serious about if you're going to call yourself a socialist. And people are throwing around this word socialist way too loosely, because it really doesn't exist hardly at all in this world, except in Iran and Syria and North Korea and Cuba, for example.
Well, see, and what's interesting is that, you know, what people have called socialism, like, say, communist China or the USSR and things of that nature, they've had massive, terrible human rights track records. And then people come out and say, we want more socialism after that fact, and say that those people just didn't get it right.
Well, you look at, okay, China in 1973, détente, Deng Xiaoping, Henry Kissinger, have a meeting. Start arming Pakistan jointly. At that point, China was no longer into the Mao era. I mean, Mao himself called Deng Xiaoping a capitalist roader. That's what he called him. And that's what's happened in China. I've been to China. I've seen it. They don't, you know, when I was there, they were talking about they don't get free education. They don't get free anything anymore. It's all gone. So China is basically a Walmart platform. It's a place where Walmart assembles stuff. 90% of the ships coming into the port of Long Beach, California, the biggest port in the country, are actually Walmart products from China. There would be no China, modern-day China, without Walmart. There would be no modern-day Walmart without China. Nothing socialist about that. So, yeah, the whole thing at Tiananmen Square, for example. You know what they were doing? They were cracking down on socialists and communists. You know what they did in Iraq? You know what Saddam did when we put him up to it? He cracked down on the Communist Party of Iraq. That's what he did. That's when he worked for us. So why did we take out Milosevic in Yugoslavia? Because he was a socialist, that's why. Because he made tractors and he made Yugos and he made machine parts. And they bartered him with Iraq and they bartered him with Iran. They bartered him with, you know, other socialist countries. Now, that's socialism. But this idea that, all the socialists are bloodthirsty, they're just going to grab all your – that's just crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, Norway, the most successful country in the world economically – it's probably the closest thing to a, you know, mixed economy socialist country that we have as an example. They have a nationalized oil company, you know, for example, and they have the highest standard of living in the world.
Well, what I found interesting about Finland is that they have very little ethnic diversity. There's only 500 people, 500 total per year allowed to actually gain residency in Finland. And studies have proven that when you have a monoculture, racism, racial violence and things of that nature don't exist. Not reduced, but don't exist at all, because there's nothing to be racist about.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true. But, you know, it's also really cold there.
Yeah.
So, you know, a lot of, you know, people from the global south probably, you know, don't want to go there.
Yeah. But, can I finish that as well? Because, by comparison, New Zealand is a very racist country in a lot of ways. And we have 50,000 immigrants coming in per year. And we're right. A country that is like less than a third of the size of Finland. Okay.
Right.
You know, and it's fomenting racial tension. And anybody who says that if you bring in lots and lots of different ethnic minority groups, it causes racism among the ignorant, gets called a racist.
Right. Well, I think it's by design. It's the same thing with the Mexican immigrants here. Who benefits? Qui bono, right? So follow the money. Well, the corporations benefit because they get a lot of cheap labor. I mean, all of the vegetables in this country are picked by poor Mexicans in California. So you get two things accomplished. You push down the wage base for white Americans. And secondly, you divide and conquer, which is the classic British Empire strategy. So you get white people hating brown people, hating black people. That's what they need. They need men hating women, environmentalists hating loggers, and, you know, everybody hating everybody. And we got to drop all this divide and conquer stuff, and we got to get to the root, which is the Illuminati, eight families, bankers, and mainly the Rothschilds, who are worth over $100 trillion. And let's talk about that, because we have nothing in common with these people. Not at all.
Not at all. I mean, when was the last time you sacrificed a child and bathed in their blood?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, this is down to that, and we need to, you know, unite people, not divide people. Which is why, you know, even though, yeah, I call my thing left hook, I'd say most of my subscribers are libertarians or, you know, a little bit to the right or whatever, but I don't care. I mean, we talk through these things. We'll get through these ideology things, but we have to continue to expose these Illuminati people, man, because they're evil and they're destroying the planet. They're destroying everything.
Yeah, that's right. Precisely correct. And, you know, and you can debate ideas and things over and over again. And the only thing that really makes a difference between an idea is an action, all right? So, you know, what are people willing to do? And, you know, that's the only ideologies that I don't like is the ones that, you know, encourage murder and theft and things like that. And the only ideology, I think, that encourages murder and theft on a grand scale are the bankers. We'll be right back.
Monopoly capitalism.
Yeah, we'll be right back after the break with Dean Henderson.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah,
but I'm here now. So what you wanna do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know? Flow like this,
like this,
like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this?
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Ain't nobody rock a show like this, except me. Yeah, and the uniquity of this show is based purely on the comedy of it. Okay, just because there's a bunch of ruthless criminal sociopathic banker scumbags who finance both sides of every major war and both sides of every major political party and consistently steal everything from you and try and hatching a plan to exterminate you orderly, doesn't mean you can't have a few laughs. My very special guest is Dean Henderson. Welcome back.
Good to be back, Vinny.
Can I ask, what actually got you interested in the political spectrum and got you writing your first book?
Well, the political stuff, I guess, started when I went to college, had some good professors, and, you know, I was just a farm kid. I was a jock. I was like an all-state middle linebacker in 4-H. I showed cattle, and I grew up on a cattle ranch and pretty sheltered, you know, lived out in South Dakota, pretty sheltered, but got turned on to some good ideas by some good professors, and then I started traveling, and I went to Nicaragua to witness the Civil War there in 1984. And as far as the first book, I did a master's thesis in environmental studies at the University of Montana back in 91. And that was during the Gulf War. So Missoula actually had the biggest per capita protest in the U.S. at that time. Like, we had half of the town marching. And we were being surveilled and FBI and all kinds of stuff. You know, and a lot of people kind of ended up leaving town, including me, because of that. But I started doing that thesis, and it was about the Middle East oil situation, because I wanted to figure out, well, who's making the money? Why is this going on? And I just continued it from there, and then I started researching the conspiracy stuff and the Freemasons and Muslim Brotherhood and the Illuminati and Kabbalah and all this crazy stuff, and I kind of overlaid that over my thesis, and that's this book. So I just kept, like, 13 years, I guess, I researched this book, and they tried to kill me twice, you know. And I've survived both attempts. And
would you be able to describe those attempts on your life, if it's not too, you know, horrible to
No, I'd love to. That's on the record. I like to talk about it as much as I can. Well, the first was in New Mexico, and I was emailing this buddy of mine about how I was meeting these people at these smelters in New Mexico and Arizona, and all of them happened to be on the 33rd parallel, which is pretty weird, right?
Oh, of course.
They were copper smelters, Morenci and Silver City, and Anyway, they were bringing cocaine in there. The CIA was bringing cocaine in there. And I had workers working there who told me this. And I think they're processing the stuff there, actually, and smuggling it in. And so I emailed my friend about this. Well, next thing you know, my van was sabotaged. The motor mounts were cut through and broke down in the middle of the road. We had to hitchhike, two dogs, my wife and I, all our stuff. And had to go to a hotel in Las Cruces, New Mexico. Well, one Sunday afternoon, I'm watching a football game. And the room next to me just boom, just blows up. And it turns out the numbers on the rooms were wrong, and it should have been where we were staying. This was like 12, 14, 13 instead of 12, 13, 14. Blew up. I drug a guy out. He was dead. I covered him with a blanket. He was on fire. Didn't make it. The next day, the media reported that he was Arab. This was the night before 2000, the millennium. This was December 31st, 1999. And it was Mexican. The guy was Mexican. I saw him. Was an Arab. So it was the two things. They're trying to kill me, and then they were trying to scare people with this Arab story that was bunk. So that was the first time. And the last time was 2009 on the Zimbabwe South Africa border. And I'm assuming the Rothschilds called that in because I was talking about how they own the whole part of the world and they're coming out of Zimbabwe. I got through that border fine. Got to the South Africa border. This guy comes up. He's got an AK-47 and he's wearing plain clothes, brown jacket. He's got a bunch of thugs with him with guns. Took all our passports. We were in a bush taxi. There was like 12 of us probably. Jill and I were the only white people, the only, you know, foreigners. And kept my passport. Gave everybody else their passport, but I kept mine. And drove back to the border, and then it was this big delay, and we didn't know what was going on. I finally got my passport back, and then we all fell asleep. But while we were sleeping, they stuck a needle through my shoe between the big toe and the first toe, you know. And you've probably seen that movie, what's that George Clooney movie where they do that, they kill a guy that way. Anyway, I had 105 fever for a while and evacuated Nepal, and I survived, but I couldn't walk for a week. And they just missed the blood vein, I think. They hit a bone, broke a bone in the big toe. But, you know, 0-2. So they're not that smart. See, that's the thing. Nothing to be scared about, kids, because, you know, they're not that smart. And I'm not, you know, I'm just, if anything, I'm just getting more radical the older I get. I'm 47 years old. I could give a rat's, you know what, man. I mean, you know, we got to tell the truth. Where are we going from here? Who knows where we're going from here? But I believe we'll be more powerful next time around.
Do you feel that you're now a very different person after these experiences?
Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, if anything, it just makes you want to like stick it to them even more because, you know, it's pretty serious. I kind of take it personal when somebody tries to kill me, you know. So it kind of gives you an extra incentive, I think, to expose them, to really go after them and to lay one on them. And, you know, I believe the best defense is a good offense. I'm not a pacifist, you know. I don't, you know, I got a line right here like everybody else, and cross that line and, you know, they cross that line, all right. So gloves are off and, you know, don't come to my house. Don't come to my house.
Now, speaking of which, you were telling me over the break that you're now down the end of the road on a little 40-acre block in a little cabin with a wood fire, with a wood fire stove that we can see behind you on the webcam there. And I made a comment that you said that basically your tactic is to withdraw, and I relate it in saying that the tactic of withdrawing out of the New World Order system is the same tactic that should have been taken in Iraq there. Fracking withdraw!
Yeah. Yeah, I think you know, that's, you know, back in the 60s, there was this big debate between the hippies and the lefties, and, oh, we should withdraw, grow food, or and peace and love, or whatever, or we should attack and become the Weathermen and the Black Panthers. Well, it's a false dichotomy. It's another false dichotomy. You have to do both. You have to do both. And with the internet, you can do both. So you can live anywhere in the world now, including out here in the middle of nowhere, and broadcast to New Zealand. It's great, right? And at the same time, I've got a huge garden that surrounds my house. I've been eating fresh vegetables out of that thing since about, you know, March 1st. And we don't buy fruit. We don't buy vegetables. We've got a little chicken coop down there. We have pigs, chickens, ducks, burn wood. I've been to town in 10 days. So I don't, you know, people talk about buy nothing day. It's a big thing. Adbusters, whatever. We buy nothing week. I mean, we go a week without buying anything. And I don't sell my labor. I quit working. I haven't had a job since I was 27. That's the topic of my last book, Sticking It to the Matrix. It's how to, I didn't come from money, you know. I didn't come from money. I came from nothing. I had nothing, started with nothing. And at 27, I basically retired and said, I'm done. And I haven't had a regular job since. That's a fact. So it's kind of a book on how to do that. It's like how to game the system, how to get free airline tickets, how to get, you know, get out of debt is the key. First thing everybody needs to do is get out of debt. And everything gets, you know, different when you do that. But there's all these ways to game the system. Not just to withdraw from it, but then attack it, go after it. Love the people, hate the system is the first chapter. And that's really important thing, you know, in this age of cynicism where everybody's cynical. Oh, people, you can't trust their own. People are dumb. People are stupid. Yeah, you know, you get cynical. I get cynical too, man. I know people are kind of stupid. Yeah, for sure. But you have to realize the conditions that they've suffered under, and we've all suffered under. We all have PTSD, you know, because it's a pretty crazy world out there they've created for us. And it's getting worse with the media. You know, you and I can sit here talking.
I disagree about the PTSD. I think it's CTSD, current traumatic stress disorder, you know?
Yeah, exactly, man. It's heavy duty, right? So that's one of the reasons living out in the country is really healthy, because you can withdraw, you can go for a week without running any tweakers, you know? And then you can get the vibe from the trees, the animals, the wild animals, everything. You can take that to town and you can sort of try to rub off on people. And it's a natural vibe, and we're all plugged into our cell phones and our smartphones, and it's really dangerous. It's a psyops program. All this technology. I mean, we're doing a good right here, but we're losing this battle. Trust me. And this media battle can't be won this way. I mean, it can't be won on Facebook and Skype, and it can't be won. It's going to be won in the woods. It's going to be won when this whole thing crashes out and all the power lines are gone, and nobody has a smartphone, and nobody can log on to anything, and they just drop the thing and walk into the woods. You meet by a fire and you start planning stuff. And that's when we're going to win this thing. So that's why I live in a country. And the Ozarks, it's pretty, there's a lot of guns here. And there's a lot of people that aren't putting up with it here, no matter what their political stripes. I mean, it's backwards in a good way, you know. And I always say it's as close to the third world as you can get without leaving America. A lot of poverty, you know. And that's the condition that we need. There's too much affluence. We suffer from affluenza. And again, people aren't going to really rise up until they're just totally at the end of their rope and they have nothing. And I'm talking about food to eat, stuff like that.
Maybe they need a mercury. Maybe they need a mercury-based cash injection for that influenza.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it's coming. I think. I mean, this You know, Wall Street's soaring through the roof, but the real economy is still washing out. I don't know how it is in New Zealand, but, you know, people are day-to-day here, barely making
dig this. Notches,
you know.
Dig this. Here's how it is in New Zealand. A supermarket opened in South Auckland, and they offered about 50 jobs. Mm-hmm. 4,000 people were lined up around the block to interview for these low-paying minimum-wage supermarket jobs.
Yeah, things are tough, and especially for a young generation, my niece and nephews. I don't have kids, and that's one reason I didn't. I saw this coming, but, you know, my niece and nephews, what are they going to do? What are the kids graduating from college and high school going to do now? These jobs are permanently gone. They're replaced by computers and mechanization and sweatshops in the third world. They're permanently gone. We'll never get it's a structural change in our economy. And the only way they can keep revolution from happening is basically give these kids a smartphone and make them feel like they're, oh, they're so in touch and they're so cool.
Yeah,
so,
I don't have any food. How, is there an app for that?
Yeah. L-O freaking L, you know? I mean, it's just, it's disgusting. It's disgusting what they're doing, but people have to wake up and, you know, more or less, yeah, use the good media, check it out. But unplugging is a really good idea, too, as much as possible.
I did that over Christmas last year, bro. I went up and I brought my computer, I bought my cell phone and everything, and I just left them in the car. And I avoided television, I avoided phone calls, I avoided everything. And it was all of a sudden as though a great tenseness had been lifted from my shoulders.
Yep. I've done that too, and I've got rid of like TV, man, especially. And just like I have it now, I like watching baseball and stuff, but you know. Whatever, but boy, when you get rid of it, yeah, it always, and we go years without TV, and then we'll get it for a while. Well, when you get rid of that TV, it's just this huge thing lifted, because it's just all this negativity coming into your life, you know, and just, you're being abused by these people, and they're telling you to be immoral, and, you know, they're telling you to be a cheat and a liar, and just, I mean, it's just horrible. It's horrible. It's not human, and, so, yeah, especially TV. TV is the worst because it's coming right at you. There's a guy, Jerry Mander, wrote a book called Seven Arguments Against Television. Great book. And it's not about, you know, everybody says, well, no, it's the content of television. It could be really good because da-da-da. No, he's saying, no, it couldn't, because it's just the nature of it, the passivity of it. Even the internet, you're at least looking for stuff, seeking stuff out. But on the TV, it's just coming at you. It's a one-way street. So your mind just totally shuts down. It's not like reading a book or even surfing the internet. It's like coming right at you, and your mind's just shut off, and it's just absorbing all this crap. And it's 99% of it, you know, it's crap. So,
Yeah, I would like to have a TV channel where, in fact, ones that are now being created now, even by this very network right now, I'm using the new TV, things like Roku boxes and things of that nature, where you have like the paranormal channel, or you'll have the documentary channel and things of that nature. And I believe that television can be used for good. And in fact, it's funny you should mention this, because that was the very reason why I quit university in the first place, is because we were given an assignment to do about television, and it's several options and things of that nature. Now, I don't know about you, but I coasted through high school. I coasted through everything. You know, I'm smart enough to just sit there and do no work and still get a passing grade. This time, when I had an anti-television essay to do, boy, George, did I work my butt off. I did referencing for the first time and read source materials for the first time, and they gave me a D.
They didn't like that. Yeah,
I was just like, you bastards. I'm quitting university today. You aren't teaching me how to think critically. You're teaching me how to be critical of people who can freaking think,
yeah,
which means being critical of myself.
Yeah. It's just like the master's thesis, right? You know, I was finding out, oh, the Rockefellers own majority of Chevron, Exxon, and BP. They didn't want to hear about it. They're like, we have to take this out of the thesis. This is conspiracy. I said, yeah, well, it's a fact. Here's the footnote. Here's where I found it. Want to go see? But it's like that. Yeah, I mean, the further up you go, you get to PhD level. They're just trying to narrow your base of knowledge down, narrow you down. That's what they're trying to do, and specialize you. They want specialists. They want specialists who can do this and specialists who can do that. But they don't really want people that can think. Are you kidding? They don't want people to think critically. I mean, that's not part of their agenda. So that's the only way you can do that is on your own. And, you know, so... But I've learned a lot traveling too. As I said, I've been lucky to go to 50 countries and backpacking really on the cheap, dude. Just unbelievable cheap. And, you know, I always tell people, if you don't have a job, go travel in the third world. It's cheaper rent, you know, why not? And so, you know, I learned a lot of how to live from those people, how to build simple little huts, how to, you know, scrounge, how to dumpster dive, how to live, you know, really from the poor people. So
we'll be right back after the break. Dean Henderson is my guest. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting live on the fabulous American Freedom Radio Network. Now, I just wanted to quickly give a big plug first to American Freedom Radio. If you are capable of supporting the network, they're looking for regular contributors, you know, people who are capable of donating on a regular basis. There's a donate banner right there on the homepage of AmericanFreedomRadio.com. They gave me the platform from New Zealand. They've given Australians a platform, and they've given Americans a platform. And we all in the same boat together, ladies and gentlemen. Without American Freedom Radio, none of this would exist. And also on top of that, there's my own personal situation whereby I'm almost entirely 100% supported by listener contributions. If you go to the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, there is a bank account number there if you'd like to set up an automatic payment or put in a one-off donation. Just basically, you're not giving me anything that you can't afford. This is the thing. If you're going to donate or contribute anything to me, I need you to make sure that you're taking care of yourself and your family first before you even think about helping me out. You know what I'm saying? Okay? If you can't help yourself, you can't help anybody else. That's my philosophy. If you have something spare, on the other hand, if you appreciate the platform that I give out to people like my very special guest, Dean Henderson, and countless others, to share a very, very massive myriad of views, whether they be right-wing, left-wing, or don't believe that the bird that has wings exists. Well, you'll hear them right here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show. So if you like diversity, if you like having differences of opinion, if you like getting along with people and having a laugh, even if you have disagreements and things like that, that's what the show is all about. We're here to have some fun. Because if you don't have fun, what the hell is the point in listening to the radio? Dean Henderson is my guest. Welcome back. And what were we talking about over the break there? So we're having a few laughs there. Well, it's just about the fact that we're just having fun. You know what I'm saying? I'm actually really enjoying talking with you.
Revolution is fun. You know, that's what people don't get, man. I think it's boring or it's depressing or whatever. I don't know. I have a ball, you know. I'm doing what I do, and it's fun. Gotta have fun. Like I say, gotta laugh. Gotta keep a sense of humor. Very true. Yeah, don't let them take that from you. No way.
Yeah.
But
it's like in The Shawshank Redemption, you know how he's got, I had Mr. Mozart to keep me company while he's in solitary confinement. They can't take music away from me. They can't take my cackles away from me.
That's right. So, we were talking about, the whole thing about it. You were saying about donating and don't donate if you can't take care of yourself, and you can't take care of yourself if you can't take care. I mean, you know, if you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of others. And I think that struck me as, yeah, it's really one of the things I wrote in my Sticking to Matrix book is, you know, this whole idea that, you know, kind of progressives or activists or people, they always, anyway, here they get this victim complex where they think they have to live in poverty or something. And then now they're right. You know, they know they're right to start a little business, so they don't have the right to do this. It's the dogma, you know, and you got to get rid of that dogma. And you have to form an economic base, you know, some kind of economic base all by yourself and have these little streams of income. And that's how, you know, my left hook, I get some donations. I sell a few books. You know, I don't make a lot of money, but I make enough money. And then the other key is not to spend a lot of money. And again, try to withdraw from the system as much as you can. And it's amazing how little you need to get by. You know, but it is getting harder because they're jacking everything. And I mean, we're in depopulation mode, you know, if you haven't noticed. I mean, you know, they're definitely trying to literally starve out people, and gas prices, food prices, insurance, everything's going up. And it's the cull. The cull has begun, you know, and which is why, you know, it's just urgent that we expose these people.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I, two themes in my book I think are important in the Big Oil book that I want to talk about, Vinny. One is that the whole thing emanates from the city of London. You know, people have this illusion that America is the great superpower that runs everything. It's not. We've been used. We're like a Hessianized mercenary force for these city of London bankers. 5 of the 8 families that own the Federal Reserve, you know, the 8 families, 5 of the 8 are European. It's old money. It's all based in the city of London, which is a separate jurisdiction from Great Britain. You know, you have the Temple Bar there, which is the Knights Templar thing. And that's where all the global maritime, British maritime law comes from that. And this British Commonwealth, which you guys are a part of, it's nothing more than a British empire disguised and toned down. That's one thing you guys need to do is ditch the Queen. Got to get rid of that system. Look what happened to Gough Whitlam in Australia in 1975. They literally threw him out for trying to form a mineral cartel, you know, and the Queen did it, you know. And this Governor General stuff, and, you know, that's how the British rule the world, is this Commonwealth, and then they use America and Israel to do their bidding. Israel is sort of the Rockefeller, Rothschild pivot in the Middle East to protect oil interests, but it's controlled by the City of London. America is the mercenary Hessianized force. We have the guns, you know, and because we have the guns, we also have the stuff. Because they have to keep the peasants and you know, happy here and distracted so that they can keep using us and killing our boys die, our money gets spent. Who benefits? Well, Royal Dutch Shell got the first contract in Iraq and BP got the second, okay? So that's one theme in the book. The other is that the Islamists, Al-Qaeda, these people are a creation of British intelligence, the CIA, and Mossad, and nothing more. I know this thing in London today, this British soldier got stabbed or macheted or whatever. That was definitely, I bet you anything, that's a false flag operation designed to, you know, convince the British that the war in Syria is going to be good when it comes. I think Boston bombing was the same thing here. The Sarnoff brother, he was being run by the CIA. His uncle worked for the CIA. They sent him to Georgia in 2008 to train him and all this. I wrote a couple articles about it. You can read them on my blog, but these Islamists are a creation of Western intelligence to get us to hate Muslims. That's the key, because they know we're going to go to war in this part of the world, because guess what? That's where the oil is at. So that's those two themes, I think, are very important, and people should study those two things really closely.
Mm. Now, in terms of keeping yourself alive and going through it, we talked over the break about multiple sources of income, and we also talked about education and over-specialization, because that's what happens. In order to enslave people, you make sure that they only have one skill to sell their labor, and so that way you can just take them out by taking out one thing. If you have multiple sources of income, like myself and yourself do, and a little bit dribbling in from here or there, it adds up to enough to live on, and even if you lose a little bit here or there, you usually are able to make do. And this is a sustainable way of generating income that, well, essentially, I think the whole economy should really be structured this way, and having over specialization and only having one job and one skill, I think that's really dangerous. And essentially, it makes people, I think, maybe depressed. Because they don't have much of a choice. You know, it's like, I'm an accountant, so I have to be an accountant.
Yeah, it's horrible. And it's all just in the service of the Illuminati bankers, man. Let's face it. I mean, most people in this world are worker bees for the bankers, whether they know it or not. And that depresses the hell out of people, I'm sure, right? So what we all need to do, we need a general strike. We need a general strike. Everybody should just organize a general strike, not show up for work. We'll see how fast this thing crashes out. And that's good. It needs to crash out. Because, again, the only way we're going to get the political awareness we need to get rid of these bankers, to nationalize the Federal Reserve. That's my pet issue in America anyways, nationalize the Federal Reserve. I think your pet issue should be nationalized Bank of New Zealand. I think we all got to get together. And because every evil emanates from this private banking cartel. And Thomas Jefferson, in my country anyway, argued for a public central bank right off the bat. And he lost. Alexander Hamilton won. He's a Rothschild agent. Lincoln tried to nationalize it. He was killed. Kennedy tried to nationalize it. He was killed. That's why he
Andrew Jackson. What I love about Andrew Jackson is the fact that he had an assassination attempt on his life, and the assassin had two pistols, and they both misfired.
Yeah, and also James Garfield and William McKinley. Every assassination attempt in America has been due to attempts to nationalize the Federal Reserve. So,
even Kennedy. Kennedy, it was presidential directives 11110 and 11111 that were to abolish the CIA and the Federal Reserve. And then a couple of weeks later, boom.
Yep, that's right. That's exactly right. Almost 100 years of the day that they killed Lincoln, when he issued the Lincoln Greenbacks. So it has to be done. People have known this throughout history for many hundreds of years. And until you do that, I mean, if we just nationalize the central banks, guess what? All the debt of the world goes away. All the sovereign debt goes away. Imagine what New Zealand could do without any debt, what America could do without $16 trillion in debt. But we'd have a little bit left. We'd have about $3 billion to the Chinese, the Japanese, and the Saudis and stuff, which I think we should honor and pay off. But most of it's to these eight families. And think about all the good things we could do. Personal debt. You go to a credit system.
I reckon, Dean, that we need a international jubilee. Call off all debts everywhere today.
I agree. But you have to, before you do that, I wrote a five-part series called The Federal Reserve Cartel. The first four parts are the chapter 19 of the book called The Eight Families. The fifth part is my solution. There's several things we have to do before we nationalize the banks. First of all, we've got to get people out of this. In America, we have this 401k system for retirement. It's horrible. Your employer matches half, and then you put half, but it all goes into the stock market or the bond market or something that's controlled by these guys. Got to change that to a public infrastructure fund. Say you build roads out of it, whatever. So we got to switch people out of that, because otherwise, Wall Street's going to crash when we nationalize these guys. So that we have to think through. We also have to withdraw from the WTO and all these trade agreements, because they don't allow it to happen. We have to fix our currency like Malaysia did during the 99 crisis, fix it, because otherwise they'll crash our currency if we do this, unless we do it all together at one time.
Yeah.
But there's several things we have to do, part through, and it can be done.
Dean, I'm sorry, before we go, we've only got about 10 seconds left. Can you please quickly just tell us your website so people can go find you?
Yeah, if you just Google Dean Henderson, that's the easy way. I'll be the first one up. Otherwise, it's Left Hook, it's called. And you can also type in Left Hook. And all my books are there. My wife's also right there.
See you again.